worship comes from 1 Chronicles. This can be found in chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. May we continue with the use of hymn number 248. And when you find your places, would you please rise? 248. Please bow with me. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for this beautiful morning. Thank you for this day that has been set apart that we might receive of the emblems in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in remembrance of him who died for us. Father, I pray that you would be with me as I preside, and as I speak this morning, that I would be pleasing unto thee. And I pray, Father, that each one here would be fed from on high, even from that manna from heaven, that truly their spirits, their hearts, and their minds would be full. I continue to pray for those who are not here, those who have been mentioned on the prayer list, Father, those who are in great need, both spiritually and physically, that you would bless them as their needs might be met, Father, so that they would have joy. Be with us as we continue in this service, I pray, in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you.
You know, yesterday, while I was holding Hope, and she happened to open her eyes finally. She doesn't do that a lot right now, but she does. And she was looking around, and I started looking into her eyes, and I'm wondering, what does she see? She's looking around. She's starting to see movement and stuff, obviously. But what is she seeing? What is she looking at? What is she thinking, you know? And it really struck me of the miracle that life is, and a newborn baby, and Boy, it just brings all your senses back in wonder and awe of the majesty of our God. For this morning, I'd like to just be plain and simple and talk about Jesus Christ, our Savior, and how much he means to us. Do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of the sacrifice that I've made, in remembrance of the blood which I shed and the broken body, that you might have eternal life and be saved to the kingdom. Keep his commandments and follow him, for he is the way, the life, and the light for all, not just us, for all. Would like you to consider this thought for a moment. Jesus himself came and built his church. He established his church. Don't let anybody fool you on that. It's not man's church. It's Christ's church. He is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Matthew 16:19, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It will be here forever. And that rock being the rock of Revelation. Many of you remember that picture of the church. We used it not too long ago. Underneath the church building itself is the rock of Revelation, which all things go by. And then the chief cornerstone of the church laying the groundwork is Jesus Christ. He gave his life on the cross and took it up again for us, that we might have life. John 10:17 says this, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We have that opportunity ourselves through obedience. Obedience to the scriptures, obedience to the commandments that are contained within them. That if we follow them, that we would have that joy. That we might come back into the presence of our Heavenly Father, our very Creator, the Almighty, and enjoy eternal glory with the very one who created us. Think of that. And all we have to do is be obedient. That's it. It shouldn't be such a hard task to do. But we allow ourselves sometimes to get pulled away by the world and cause our obedience to turn into disobedience. We have to be aware of that. Pray to your Heavenly Father that you have understanding of those things which you might be doing that might not be right and you're not even realizing them, that you will find yourself whole at the coming of the Lord. Everything that we have today, the feelings that we have, the lives that we live, the choices that we're able to make is because of this Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us, each one of us, the whole world. Eternal life is the promise and fulfillment of the scriptures that man was created for eternity. God didn't create us just to haphazardly go through life and then go wherever. He wants us to be back for him. We were created for eternal life, and he wants that eternal life to be with him. And then the heavens will rejoice. The things that we do in this life, brothers and sisters, and I have to remind you every day because I'm reminding myself, the things that we do this day in this life is the key to our eternal future. It is the things that will show in our history where we're going to be after this life ends. And we need to be prepared every day. We can't just say, I got another week. I'll worry about it at the end of the week. We have to prepare every day, every moment, that we're ready, whether it's that our life might end or that the coming of the Lord. We're told the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. We've been telling, being heard that for years, because it is for us. It is. Be prepared. There will come a time when this life will end. We know that. That's a surety. I guarantee you. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it is appointed unto men once to die. It's that second death we don't want to see, that spiritual death. We don't want to have that spiritual death. We want to be with our Heavenly Father. Individually, know not when that last day will be, but surely it will come. Does it not make sense then that we should be wise stewards over ourselves, that we prepare something that we can't escape? You're not going to escape death. It's going to come to all of us. That's for sure. The physical death. But let's hope for each one of us as we prepare that we don't have that spiritual death. The question about dying was asked by Job. He says in 14:4, if a man die, shall he not live again? That's quite a question that he's asking. It's a question that many of us struggle with today. A question many try but can't find the answer. Well, let me tell you what the answer is. Sometimes it just comes down to faith. We have to have faith. Sooner or later, I've had so many people talk to me, and they can talk you to death, and you just got to stop them and say that you have to have faith. There comes a point when it just comes down. We can't explain everything away. There is a great creator of all things. There is a savior for all people. We have to have faith. I want to share a testimony a little bit about you because I remember I used to have to drive a long way to work. It took me well over an hour many times to get back and forth to work. I'm sure, Rob, you've been in that same situation many times. And going back and forth gives you a lot of time to think. Got to stop at a lot of lights, especially on the way home during rush hour. Gives you a lot of time to think. And for some reason, every once in a while, this thought used to come to my mind while I was sitting there at the light. What's it going to be like? I'm looking around. Am I going to be in this car? And am I going to be waiting in a traffic light? Are there going to be trees over there? Are there going to be buildings? What's it going to be like? And it used to make me very nervous because I'm asking questions that I can't answer. It's out of my control. I have to have faith. We began to study a little bit more at home and also through the study class in the morning, and I began to be a little bit stronger. And that vision slowly, it took about 6 months, I want to tell you, and it was a struggle, but it took about 6 months where that finally was set aside. And I didn't worry about that no more because I knew that this part of the life is just part of the journey, that there's much more on the other side. And I became relieved in my senses, in my spirit, if you will, and it didn't worry me no more. I felt comfort. I felt that peace that passes understanding that we can't explain in our own language. Christ himself, while he was here, he tried to get people to understand what his purpose was. While he was here in the flesh, they just couldn't get it figured out. All the Sadducees, and they had all this information, they had the scriptures, they believed in them. But they couldn't realize that the man before them in the flesh was that one that was promised to come, the Savior of the world. They just couldn't get it. He foretold of his own death and his own resurrection, yet even those close to him just could not get it. It wasn't until the power of the Holy Ghost was given with them, when they spoke in tongues, Pentecost, if you will, that they then realized that there was something going on. They had that understanding. They had a strong spiritual connection now. that they could understand now what Christ was talking about. The Holy Ghost witnesses to your spiritual sense. Remember, to understand spiritual things, you have to be spiritual. The human is not going to understand that of the flesh. Human understands human things of the flesh. Spiritual understands spiritual things. This is from Ether 541. And now I would commend you to seek this Jesus of whom the prophets and the apostles have written, that the grace of God the Father and also the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of them, may be and abide in you forever. Forever. But you have to give it room. You have to get rid of those worldly things and allow the Holy Ghost to dwell within you, so it can direct you on your ways and on your paths in righteousness. Because the Holy Ghost knows exactly where God wants you to be. It knows that path. It will tell you all the things that you should know and where you should go. But the Comforter, this is in John 14:26. A little bit of proof on that. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost from the Father, will send in my name. He shall teach you all things. You're never left alone. You're never left alone. You always have that connection. You always have that ability to have that direction that you should go. Sometimes you don't even realize it. You're going this way. You wanted to go this way, and something told you to go this way. Did you ever stop to think of why? Maybe it's the Lord blessing you with direction through the Holy Ghost to keep you safe. The little things in life that we take for granted sometimes. Now, to begin with, we must remember that the spirit and the body make up the living soul. We have to understand that. The very beginning. It's like understanding faith. Everything starts with faith. You have to start at the beginning. The body and the spirit makes up the living soul. It tells us that in Genesis. And when the time comes to pass from this life to the next, there is a separation, once again, of the body and the spirit. When this occurs, there is no longer the ability to control the physical nature of things, the physical life of the body. Therefore, the body can no longer live a physical life because the spirit's been withdrawn from it. So it dies. We all need to have that realization of how we are made, that life was breathed into us, that we are flesh and we are spirit. And in the fact that the spirit and the body live together to give us this physical life. We have to understand that. You know, the power which is in us to give us life is the spirit. And it's unexplainable to us. No matter who's tried to figure it out, no one can really understand where life and the power of it within it comes from. I look at that little baby back there, my granddaughter. How can anybody think that that just happened? There's no way. It is by the power of God. And we know the source of all good things, that they come from God, for He created all things. So what happens when the spirit separates from the body? People can't argue about this. It's in Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust or body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who made it. Is there a clue there for us? Who made it? God made it. God will send that spirit which He had time to develop within us while we were here on probation to a place where it shall be best suited for a time. Until the end. And that's why I tell you now, we are making our own. This is the key to our eternal life right now. There is another part. But this is the beginning. This is the key for each one of us. Please remember these words of a blessing, but also they are of a warning. In Alma 16:2-32, it says this. For that same spirit which does possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. Do you understand which spirit is possessed within you right now? Is it the good spirit? The bad spirit? A little bit of both maybe from time to time? You know, the scriptures are that two-edged sword that we're talked about. You live by the scriptures and the word within it, and you also die by it. You can either die a good life into eternal, or you can not live by the scriptures, which will be used against you as that law, which has been placed before us, and be damned. I'm putting that out there because it's plain and simple. So we come to the question of heaven or hell. We talked about that a little while ago. We know that a lot of people believe out there that that's it. Heaven or hell, when you pass from this life, that's it. What do the scriptures say? I want you to listen to these scriptures I'm going to read because they give us a better understanding of the truth of the matter. In Luke 23:44, Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I want you to note the word today in there. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Is paradise heaven? Because the person on the cross next to Jesus, he's going to die. And he said, "Today you're going to be with me in heaven." Jesus was expecting to enter into paradise after his death, into the same place that he had re-invited the repentant sinner to be. Remember, this was a place Jesus went between his death and his resurrection. He had not been with God yet. We know this is true, for the scriptures tell us. John 20:17 says this. Note, there was 3 days after Jesus' physical death. He met Mary at the sepulcher, and Jesus said to her, "Hold me not, for I am not ascended to my Father." So we know that the place of paradise must be somewhat different than that final place where God is. But what is its purpose? Paradise is the abode of the repentant spirits between death and the resurrection. Paradise is a place of pleasant experiences where those who have overcome sin in this life rest, as we are told, and await the time of final judgment for the last resurrection. What about hell? Everybody has a different opinion on that. What do the scriptures say about hell? Psalms 55:15 gives us a clue. "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." Now, we know that there are some more wicked than others, obviously. And they all are in the same place. Can that be possible? This guy killed somebody. Is he worse than the guy that just stole some candy from the store? From the scripture in Psalms 86:13, we can see that there are different levels or degrees in hell. So we can see that death, when the body separates from the spirit, the body goes back to the earth, and the spirit goes to God. God sends that spirit then either to paradise or hell. In both places, there will continue to be study, there's going to continue to be learning, and a chance to understand the true nature of God. Well, those in paradise obviously had a very good head start. But there are many in hell, which we are told is going to open up, and those too will have opportunity for a glory, that those in hell will learn. Many of them didn't have no understanding. Many of them were never taught. Many of them have no idea about Jesus Christ, or God, for that matter. Especially concerning hell, there will be preaching of the gospel, which indicates that there's a chance for repentance, does it not? Why preach the gospel if repentance time has ran out? They may still be saved, that which is worth saving, of their spiritual nature, that same spirit that God created. There's always opportunity until that very last moment on Judgment Day. 1 Peter 4:6 says this, "Because of this is the gospel preached to them who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh." So there are many that don't understand
So as we go through life, we see that more stuff, more information is coming forward. We're getting a better understanding. But before, there was many that were not able to have that understanding. So he's saying that they might be judged according to those men in life, that in flesh, that they might have understanding, but live in the Spirit according to the will of God. Everybody has to have equal opportunity to have that understanding given to them. And they then will be able to choose. For those people who have passed away and don't know Jesus Christ, how fair would it be to those who are living today and know Jesus Christ if they were never taught the Scriptures? Their opportunity is there in one of the levels of hell. Scriptures are very evident about that. Remember, the principle of judgment is eternal. We're being judged for our eternal path, if you will. We are now becoming that which we shall be in the final day of judgment. Right now, we're preparing our own destiny. The Lord's helping us along the way, always trying to keep us on that straight and narrow path. But ultimately, we choose that path to take. The judgment upon us will be carried out according to our works, along with the grace and the mercy of our Heavenly Father. Since our degree of righteousness varies in our works, so must the degree of eternal glory. Very logical. It makes sense. We are going to be rewarded for that which we do in this life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. That's where our reward will lie. It is a blessing to have this wonderful gospel to study, but also it is a warning. For the words within it are very plain and understandable, and they tell us everything about the happenings of those people that go astray. We must remember that Jesus chose himself to come and save us. He was not forced, just as we cannot be forced to do anything. We make our choice. He came that we might have a more abundant life. We know that. But we have to listen. We have to have understanding. We have to be aware of our surroundings. We have to be aware of the spiritual sense of things. This is why he established his church and gave authority to his priesthood. Christ establishes church and the authority of the priesthood that we might have life more abundant. There's a great blessing in Christ's church for those who follow him and are serious about it and try to live that righteous life that the church prepares them to live. Are we preparing ourselves for that which lies ahead? Truly. We have to ask ourselves that daily. Daily we have to ask ourselves that. God has a plan, and we're in it right now. All the pieces are starting to come together, and they're fit in certain places. Are we part of the big, beautiful picture that God has planned for us? Or have we decided to stay away and not be part of that plan? Where will you be? Where do you think you will be? Ask yourself this. Where will you be? I know where I want to be. And then look back at your life. Look back at yesterday, the day before. Look at where you're going. Where will you be when that day comes of final judgment? And if it makes you feel uncomfortable, which there are things we all feel a little bit uncomfortable with from time to time as we hear people preaching from up front, you need to change your life. You need to answer that question with a question of your own. What can I do to change the way I'm living, that I might be more in line with that which Christ has placed before me as that perfect example? Make some adjustments and then move on. Don't keep looking back. Move on. Go to your Father in prayer through Christ Jesus and ask that he will show you the way to go. And he will. We learned in class this morning, did he not help Joseph out? Joseph had that faith to believe in the Scriptures. And he asked, and it was given unto him, the answer. I want to read this poem to you. And this was an elder in the church, Walter Howell, very dear friend of mine. very close to the Lord with great understanding. And he gave me this poem, and it says, God takes care of my hand and walks with me. God takes my hand and walks with me. He clears my path that I may see the beauty, grandeur, peace divine of all the things that can be mine. God is my strength all through the days, but I must listen to what he says. With arms of love, he encircles us if in only him we put our trust. We have to trust. We have to have faith in our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. Faith in God creates obedience to him. If you have faith in God, you will become obedient to him because you have faith in him. You believe in him. And you know when he talks to you that this is the things that you need to do. So you become obedient to him through your own faith. It all begins back with faith. Be not afraid, little flock, of this life and its struggles, but be prepared for the next life that is to come, that eternal life, that life with the glory of God before you. Live the life that Christ gave us the example to live, and you will be back in the kingdom. I guarantee. May the Lord bless you. I pray that you truly have been fed this morning, that you have taken the emblems and remembrance of Jesus Christ and recognize what he has done for us. And not just this day, but every day as you walk out in this life and you come across other people, have that look about your face. Have that good spirit within you that you know what you know that you have just shared in the emblems, and that you know that why you did it is because you believe in Jesus Christ and that which he has done for us. I pray for all of you that the Lord would continue to guide and direct you even in your thoughts. And if you find yourself coming up short, repent. Repent right at that moment so that it will be done away with and gone, so that you don't carry that weight with you. Thank you. Would you please bow with me? Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of my brethren here this day that truly they have been fed from on high. We uphold you, Father. We praise you and we glorify you. And I pray as we go from this place, Father, that we would take the message with us that has been given, that truly we would share it with others, that Jesus is alive in every one of our hearts, that he was the perfect example and still is the perfect example on how we should live this life. We thank you, Father, for the gift of thy Son, and pray, Father, that we might walk a more righteous walk, that we might find ourselves in that last day being welcomed into thy kingdom. Is my prayer in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.